Well, we're thinking about love this summer. Last week, we were thinking about loving God and putting Him first. This week, we're thinking about loving one another. I wonder if any of you know how boats ask each other out. Anyone? They say, "Are you up for a little romance?" I saw this bloke chatting up a cheetah once. I thought, he's trying to pull a fast one. If you don't like the jokes, the sermon series is on love. If you've got any good jokes about love, just email them across to me this week and I may put them in my sermon next week. If you can't come up with anything better, you can stop moaning. You see, last week, if you were here, we talked about how there are different kinds of love. And the way that affection and friendship and desire, they all come quite naturally to us, though not always for appropriate things. But the deepest, most beautiful kind of love we heard was called agape. And that does not come naturally to us, which is why Jesus had to command us to love God first. We heard Jesus, he quoted the Old Testament law, didn't he? He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. This is the first commandment," he said. Now, one of the puppets earlier had got that message, sort of. He was being very superior to the other puppets, wasn't he? Saying that he was too busy loving God and praying to bother with the others who needed his help. But the superior puppet forgot something very important about what Jesus said. That little word, first. Jesus said this is the first commandment, not the only commandment. The second most important commandment is to love one another as we love ourselves. And in fact, those two commands go together. They shouldn't really be split apart like I have for this sermon series. That's very naughty of me. They shouldn't be separated because they go together. You see, if we ignore the second commandment, like the superior puppet, it kind of calls into question whether we're actually following the first commandment. One of Jesus' disciples, John, put it like this. "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." It's from 1 John chapter 4. So this week we're thinking about loving one another. That is our Christian brothers and sisters. Next week we're going to have a look at loving our neighbour, which is those people who do not belong to our church family. You see, sometimes people ask me what my vision is for this church family. Over the last year, I've had all sorts of thoughts and hopes and some crazy ideas I haven't yet shared with you. Be afraid. No, it's fine. Carol's laughing. Carol knows one or two of them. She's. I've seen all sorts of different possibilities for this church family. But how's this for starters? Romans 12. Verse 9. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Don't be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Now, I'm not sure there are many churches who've managed to completely fulfil those few verses in their life together. But it's quite a good thing to aim for. This is in his letter. Paul was, first of all, teaching the church in Rome, giving them the sort of the basis, the bedrock, the foundation of the Christian faith. And then, in the last four chapters, he moves towards, yes, but how? So what? And he starts to talk to them about how to do this, how to live out this Christian faith that we have. And he says things like, be devoted to one another in love. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. This is what our church family should look like. And when we serve one another, we shouldn't do it in a sort of complaining, ugh. You know, sort of, oh, not another thing the vicar's asked me to do. Not another thing with that problem. We shouldn't serve in a grudging way, but with fervour, the Bible says, with passion, with zeal, because we're serving the living God. This is what it means to love one another. I wonder how you think we're doing as a church family. That's a rhetorical question. Don't want you to start shouting out. How do you think we're doing as a church family on this? How often churches fall short? Paul's summary describes this real, deep, sort of sacrificial kind of love. But how often churches are more full of niceness than love? How often churches are more full of acquaintances rather than brothers and sisters? How often churches are full of pretending rather than sharing? How often churches are full of people putting on a front because we're afraid of what people would say if they knew the real me? Friends, do you want our church family to be full of niceness, acquaintances, pretending and judgment? Do you? Say it. No. No. We want our church family to be devoted, don't we? Zealous in service, joyful, patient, faithful, hospitable. Do you?
Yes.
Yes. Helen said, I've got to get you to say stuff. Yes.
Yes.
We do want our church family to be like that. And how's that going to happen? There is no vicar magic wand. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I wish there were, but there is no vicar magic wand. We need to take seriously Jesus' commands to love God first and second, to love one another as we love ourselves. In fact, this command to love one another, it's not just Jesus who says it. It's not just Paul who says it. Peter says it in his letters, and so does John. It is all over the New Testament. So what are we going to do? It's homework time. I haven't given you any homework for a while, so I thought I'd give you a bit of homework. Sorry, Annie. It's very easy homework. What I'd like you to do at some point this week, preferably in the next day or two, so it's still reasonably fresh in your mind, is find a Bible at home. If you don't have a Bible at home, that's fine, but do ask, because I'll give you one. Find a Bible at home and open it to Romans 12, the passage that Joe read for us this morning. If you can't remember what it is tomorrow, it's on the news sheet at the top left-hand corner. So you've got no excuse. If you really have lost your news sheet, just send me an email or phone me and I will tell you what it is. Because what I'd love you to do is to find those verses. There's only four of them, five of them, whatever it is. They're really short. And read through them two or three times, slowly. If you're old enough to read, that is. I'm not sure Max would be able to read it. Read through them slowly and see if one or two of them don't jump out at you as things that maybe God is prompting you to do this week. When I was doing this, the one that popped out at me is be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. That's mine for the week. Don't know what yours is. There's lots of them in those four verses. And then, once you've done that, if you're not sure, just pick one at random. They're all good. Once you've picked one, do it. It's as simple as that. It's not very hard homework. Think of someone in our church family that you could love in that way. If you've chosen to be patient in affliction, it might be someone who's going through a really tough time right now. And it may be that you just need to go and be with them and encourage them. If you've chosen to be zealous in service, maybe there's something that you're doing that you just feel, oh, I'm doing this again every week. And you need to think, actually, I'm doing this for the Lord, the God of all. Whatever it is, give it a go. Because friends, our church family, it will never change. It will never grow. It will never become more healthy unless we change and grow and become more healthy and more loving. Earlier on, I asked you what sort of church family you didn't want and which sort of church family you do want. One of niceness or one full of real love? We're going to spend a few moments in silence now. Well, it's fine, don't worry. The grown-ups are going to spend a few moments in silence now. And we're going to reflect on perhaps the ways that we personally don't love as we should our Christian brothers and sisters. Remember, this is not about people outside the church family this week, that's next week. This week it's about our church family here in Amington. We're going to think about how we fail, how we fall short of this command to love. And then I'm going to invite us to make a decision to love one another more. To let God's love fill us and overflow in love for one another. So let's spend a few moments now reflecting on that. Father, we are sorry. We are sorry for the times when we have not loved others as we should. Please may these words from Paul's letter inspire us to love one another more. Help us this week to listen to your word. Help us, Lord, to make the decision to love one another. Amen. Friends, nice is easy. Nice is easy. It's really easy to come and be nice to people for half an hour after a Sunday morning service. Love is hard. But love, real love, is the way we shine. Love is the way we will shine in our parish. Love is the only thing the church has to offer the world. So let's do it.